Good afternoon, 4:30 and 65 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Courtney Howe.
The easiest way we can assist them is to help with the cost of any public infrastructure upgrades.
Ashland Economic Development Director Chris Poulam says city commissioners tomorrow will consider creation of a TIF district to improve the downtown area and encourage a multi-million dollar investment.
A McGoffin County teen has been killed in a single car crash.
And an investigation is underway into a drowning Sunday night in Cave Run Lake.
In sports, the Yankees are in Cincinnati tonight for the first time in 4 years.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Increasing clouds tonight with a low around 49 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A single car crash in McGoffin County Sunday night has taken the life of an 18-year-old student at McGoffin County High School. According to WYMT, the coroner has identified the victim as Madison Allen. Police say her auto went off Route 3337 in the Gifford community and slammed into a ditch. They report the mishap occurred around 10 p.m.
A Martin County woman is dead following an ATV crash yesterday. WYMT reports 42-year-old Tracy Dalton Horn was driving a side-by-side when it flipped over just off Route 908 in Martin County. Officials say two men found her and tried to perform CPR on Horn. She was taken to Highlands Regional Medical Center, where she later died. The incident is under investigation.
Police have not yet released a motive for a shooting that left one man dead in Mount Sterling over the weekend. According to WKYT, police have arrested and charged 53-year-old James Toll with first-degree murder after he allegedly shot 56-year-old Victor Wilson multiple times early Saturday. Wilson was taken to the UK Medical Center, where he later died. Karen Roark says Wilson knew her family very well.
He was the one that was contagious. You know, his smile, his love for the Lord. You just couldn't help but notice Victor.
Toll is housed in the Montgomery County Jail.
Authorities continue to investigate after a Moorhead woman drowned Sunday night in Cave Run Lake. The body of 50-year-old Darlene Byers was recovered from an area of the lake near the Twin Knobs campground area between 7:30 and 8. According to Ronnie Day, the director of the Round County Emergency Management Agency, Byers had gone boating with three other people earlier in the day.
The boat was a small boat. They'd been out there since about 1 o'clock taking a boat ride. And the lake was rough, and the waves were rough, and they started taking on water, and they started bailing with a bucket, and they couldn't keep up with it, so the boat sank.
Day says the other three occupants of the craft were able to safely swim about 200 yards to shore. Byers, who was not wearing a life jacket, didn't make it.
Look for an initial report on the cause of Friday's fatal plane crash at the Yeager Airport in Charleston, West Virginia, sometime next month. That's the word from Bill English of the National Transportation Safety Board. He spoke to reporters at a press conference Saturday.
We should have some sort of preliminary information up on our website, and within a month, very brief, something, and then the process will go forward from there. We'll open a public docket, and then that'll lead to the final report later on down the road.
The crash of the air cargo carrier's plane that took off from Louisville killed the pilot and co-pilot. They were flying for UPS. The plane skidded off the runway, went up a hill, and dropped into a ravine.
Ashland City Commissioners are meeting in special session tomorrow morning to consider creating a tax increment financing district, or TIF, to encourage a multi-million dollar investment downtown. The district would be known as the Ashland Plaza Development Area and would extend from 13th to 18th Streets. The TIF would be an initiative for local developers to turn the Ashland Plaza Hotel into a Marriott. It would also involve tearing down the old Ashland Oil building to clear the way for a convention center and parking area. Steve Gilmore is Ashland's mayor.
We've had developers in here who own property, who have purchased property in our region already, and I've worked with them years ago when I was mayor. They're trustworthy and honorable. They're after this. They love this area to develop. And so they have a deal going with a local owner on some property that this is significant to that development.
Ashland's Development Director Chris Pullum says TIF districts allow local taxing authorities to use projected tax revenue increases from development within the zone to issue bonds to pay for infrastructure improvements. City commissioners are meeting at 9 a.m. The Boyd County Fiscal Court will consider the same issue at 10. The TIF also requires approval from state officials.
State Representative Adam Koenig says he doesn't know when Governor Bevin may call a special session of the General Assembly this year to consider tax reform. However, the Erlanger Republican, who chairs the House Licensing and Occupations Committee, says there are certain pillars he'd like to see included within a reform effort. Koenig spoke with Spectrum Cable's Pure Politics.
I think there's a lot to be said for flattening the tax code and maybe a little bit more by way of sales tax, a little more income tax, as long as it grows the economy and hopefully provides a more business-friendly environment, which is obviously a theme this year with our session.
Koenig says he's not expecting the governor to summon the legislature to Frankfort anytime soon. He says a special session is probably a ways off.
Eastern Kentucky's first responders are bracing themselves for the influx of a dangerous new type of opioid. The federal DEA agent tells the Ashland Independent that heroin laced with acrylfentanyl is bound for the region, and it's generally resistant to Narcan, the antidote that's used to save the lives of drug overdose victims. Round County Chief Deputy Joe Klein says right now the only real thing his department can do to prevent acrylfentanyl-laced heroin from killing users is to conduct a wide-ranging public awareness campaign to tell them of the drug's dangers.
We can get the information out there and maybe just have them just stop and think before they do this. I know that it's powerful pull on them because of their addiction, but it's a life and death decision, and a lot of times we have to make those every single day. But for an addict, if they take it, it could be the dose that actually kills them.
Since 2010, Klein has spearheaded the Round Sheriff's Department's anti-drug initiative, Operation Rowan Roundup.
Ex-governors of two of the states hardest hit by opioid overdose deaths say it's a national crisis that can't be solved without broad-based commitment. Democrats Steve Beshear of Kentucky and Ted Strickland of Ohio participated in a panel discussion on the issue Friday at Harvard University. Beshear says if there ever was a challenge that called on people everywhere to work together, it's this one.
If there was ever an issue to where Republicans and Democrats ought to be able to get by this rank partisanship that is keeping us apart and polarized right now, it's this drug abuse issue. I mean, this cuts across everybody. I mean, Republicans, Democrats, independents, wealthy, poor. And if left unchallenged, it's going to destroy our society eventually.
According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, Kentucky ranks 14th for drug overdose deaths. Ohio is first. The Buckeye State recorded more than 7% of the nation's total drug overdose deaths in 2014, and the figure was even higher for 2015. Former Ohio Governor Ted Strickland says there's no panacea for solving the problem. He says it'll take a variety of approaches.
Those on street drugs probably are a little more difficult to engage in that treatment than those that are on prescription medications, but we need an array of treatments available. It's going to take money, and it's going to take resources, but it is a public health crisis, and we've got to admit that it is.
Strickland and Beshear say programs that work for some addicts may be ineffective with others.
According to the latest report by Feeding America, Wolf County has the highest rate of food insecurity in Kentucky. The nonprofit organization's 2017 Map the Meal Gap study shows 23.2% of the county's population is food insecure. That's defined as people without access to adequate food. McCreary County is second at 22%, and Clay and Fulton counties are tied for third at 21.7%. The study shows 17.4% of Round County's people are food insecure. That's just over 4,100 persons. Among the highest rates in Northeast Kentucky are in Elliott and Lewis counties. Elliott is 19.2% and Lewis is 18.4%.
Governor Bevin has appointed Maysville attorney Jeffrey Schumacher as judge for the 19th district, which includes Fleming, Mason, and Bracken counties. Bevin announced the appointment Friday. Schumacher has practiced law in Maysville for more than two decades and also served as the Mason County attorney. He replaces Frank McCartney, who passed away in January. Schumacher will serve until an election is held next year.
Kentucky's Secretary of State says it's long past time to restore the voting rights of convicted felons who've served their sentences. Democrat Allison Lundergan Grimes made the comment Sunday on KET's Connections with Renee Shaw.
We are only one of four states in the nation that does not automatically restore an individual's right to vote when they have completed their time. This affects disproportionately African Americans. Here in this state, one in four African Americans cannot vote because of a felony conviction. Over 200,000 Kentuckians when we're looking at the numbers.
Grimes says she hopes the General Assembly restores those voting rights as soon as possible.
Robertson County School Superintendent is getting high marks for his performance on the job. Kenzie Thompson reports.
Sanford Holbrook is finishing his second year as superintendent of Robertson County Schools, and since then, the district has reported several achievements. RCS Board Chairman Dr. John Burns says Holbrook has exceeded expectations as the head of the district. The RCS district is reportedly now ranked 7th in the state for its accountability system, has attained a 100% graduation rate, and its 2016 and 2017 high school senior classes were rated at 100% college and career readiness. In the last 2 years, bikes, electronic devices, and other rewards have been used as incentives to help improve district-wide student attendance. Holbrook says he is ready to set the bar even higher on expectations next year. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Crews are preparing the site of the new Central Elementary School in Lewis County. They've been removing structures at the location in downtown Vanceburg and installing drainage lines for water control. District Superintendent Jamie Weddington says the $18 million building will be constructed on the spot where the old superintendent office used to stand, right behind where the existing school stands.
There's a spot there that is up out of the floodplain that we have started to grade down and doing dozer work on right now as we speak. It'll be within about 20 feet of the current Central Elementary, so it'll be just right out the back door of the existing school.
Once the new school is completed, the old Central Elementary will be demolished and that space will be used as a parking lot. The projected finish date of this project is August 2019.
A job fair for out-of-work nurses will be held in Carter County later this month. The Eastern Kentucky Concentrated Employment Program will host the Carter Nursing and Rehab Job Fair Tuesday, May 16th from 10 to 1 at the Grayson Career Center. Lonnie Offal helped organize the event. She says available positions include RNs, LPNs, and CNAs.
What they would need to do is, you know, get their applications in, get their resumes in. They will be talking with, as I said, staff from Carter Nursing and Rehab Center on site here at our office, and then that process will just go forward from there.
Interested applicants can find out more by calling 606-474-2412. Or visiting ekyjobs.com.
Even though the U.S. Forest Service spent $11,000 last year to do some repairs on the small road that leads up to Round County's popular Lakiji Rock tourist site, more work needs to be done there. That's the opinion of the Cumberland District Ranger for the Daniel Boone National Forest, Jonathan Kazmierski.
There's some places where we need to improve drainage. Then we have some old culverts that were originally installed by the Civilian Conservation Corps almost a century ago, and those culverts are beginning to fail, and they've held up a lot longer than anyone would expect, but we need to replace those culverts to make sure the water can flow freely and not get blocked up and result in road damage.
Kazmierski says the additional upgrades to Lakiji Road will likely cost about $30,000, which is money the Forest Service lacks right now. He plans to seek assistance for the project from the Round County Fiscal Court. Now taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cloudy skies with periods of light rain, thunder possible with lows around 49 degrees, and that chance of rain is at 60%. Tomorrow, mixed clouds and sun with scattered thunderstorms, highs around 71 degrees, chance of rain is at 60%. Tomorrow night, thunderstorms likely in the evening and a chance of scattered thunderstorms later on. Lows around 55 degrees and that chance of rain is at 80%. And for Wednesday, overcast skies with a stray shower or thunderstorm possible. Highs around 77 degrees. And the current temperatures around the region, Ashland sitting at 65 degrees, Flemingsburg at 64 degrees. It is 65 degrees in Inez, Lexington at 66 degrees, Winchester at 65, and it's currently 65 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and it is mighty nice to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment this afternoon, more now on the road leading to Lakiji Rock. As we just heard, it is in need of repair, and MSPR's Victoria Agee has more.
Lakiji Road, which saw repairs in the fall of last year, may be up for more. Cumberland District Ranger for the Daniel Boone National Forest, Jonathan Kazmierski, says that even though there were initial repairs, heavy traffic has caused some problems.
The road's holding up fairly well, but I have noticed it's getting a lot of use, and we are seeing fairly significant traffic on it, and I've noticed a few potholes creeping back up.
The road, he says, wasn't designed for the extensive use it's seen. As a result, it was previously repaired for $11,000. Kazmierski says that the new repairs will cost around $30,000. He says that currently the forestry department can't afford that amount. However, he does have a plan.
I plan on talking to some folks in the community here, visiting with the Round County Fiscal Court to talk about potential ways to keep that road in good shape.
When describing the repairs, Kazmierski says that the previous ones included putting more rock on the road, but the new ones, he says, will involve more.
Last year we did a fair bit of work on that road, and it resulted in the improved conditions that we see today. We put a lot of rock on the road. We fixed some of the drainage and culverts. The contractor just did an outstanding job, went above and beyond our expectations. So the road's in fairly good shape, but we still have some drainages to fix, some culverts to replace, and we're hoping to find the funds to do that here in the near future.
He described the needed repairs in further detail.
One of the ways you keep a road in good shape is to keep the water from running down the road, get the water off the road as quickly as possible. And so there's some places where we need to improve drainage. Then we have some old culverts that were originally installed by the Civilian Conservation Corps almost a century ago, and those culverts are beginning to fail, and they've held up a lot longer than anyone would expect, but we need to replace those culverts to make sure water can flow freely and not get blocked up and result in road damage.
Kazmierski is confident that the Forestry Department will be able to secure the needed funding for the work. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Victoria Agee.
4:47, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Nathan has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting Joe Sarter, Morehead Mind Games. On display through May 13th, the exhibition features four dozen of the artist's paintings, which draw inspiration from the people, places, and landscapes of the local area, including Morehead and Rowan County. Many of the works will be available for purchase. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
But Queen City takes on the Big Apple. Good afternoon. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. Winners of five in a row, the Cincinnati Reds start an interleague series with the New York Yankees tonight at 7:10 at Great American Ballpark. Sunday's 4-0 triumph over the Giants at home also moved the Reds and winning pitcher Scott Feldman into first place in the National League Central with a 17-14 record.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, we got some great guys in here, and, a lot of young energy, and yeah, it's always fun when you're winning games. So, you know, I think everybody's showing up at the park with a good attitude and ready to go out there and grind away and just try to find a way to win.
At 20-9, the Yankees roll into the Queen City with baseball's best winning percentage. They're coming off a three-game sweep of the Cubs in Chicago. 1-1 rookie Davis pitches for the Reds tonight against 4-1 Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees. In other notes in Major League Baseball, two-time American League MVP Mike Trout says he plans to play to Oakland after missing two straight games for the Angels and 3 of 4 because of a tight left hamstring. He has a 17-game hitting streak. The outfielder has played in at least 157 games in four consecutive seasons, and he missed only three games in each of the past 2 years. And Washington star Bryce Harper has been out of the lineup for three straight games because of a strained groin. Manager Dusty Baker says the 2015 National League MVP will play in the series opener at Baltimore. Harper is hitting .376 with 27 RBIs. New Moorhead State men's basketball coach Preston Spradlin is pleased with his spring recruiting haul. Spradlin says the eight players the Eagles signed in recent weeks will be a nice complement to his team's four returning veterans.
I was really pleased in the timeline that we were able to do it with the success rate of bringing kids to campus and making them feel it comfortable and feel at home and envision themselves being here and just kind of fit in that mold of what I wanted to do from top to bottom with my program, staff, and players of kids who want to be here and have a certain hunger and a certain chip on their shoulder and to want to come here and compete.
The MSU men are also adding 6'5 Harlan County star Trey Spurlock and Bracken County High School's all-time leading scorer Austin Crawford as preferred walk-ons to their 2017-18 roster. The Kentucky basketball team added to its recruiting class over the weekend. MSPR's Braxton Howard has more.
Five-star forward Kevin Knox verbally committed to the Cats on Saturday. Knox is ranked as the ninth best player in the country by multiple recruiting services. The 6'8 Knox picked the Cats over Missouri, Florida State, North Carolina, and Duke. He adds to what is already the number one class in the country, joining Hamadou Diallo, Jared Vanderbilt, P.J. Washington, Nick Richards, Quade Green, Shea Alexander, and Jamal Baker in the Cats 2017 class. UK is considered to be the favorite to land the number two ranked player in the class, Mohamed Bamba, as well, as they try to replace the eight players they lost to graduation and the NBA draft from last year's Elite 18. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Braxton Howard.
In the NBA, the Golden State Warriors will go for the sweep in the series with the Utah Jazz tonight at 9:30. A win will advance the Warriors into the Western Conference Finals for the third consecutive year. Also, Houston Rockets center Nene will miss the remainder of the playoffs due to a torn left adductor. And Toronto Raptors all-star point guard Kyle Lowry will opt out of his contract and become a free agent this summer. The Cincinnati Bengals have signed a pair of draft picks, including their top selection, former University of Washington wide receiver John Ross. The Bengals inked Ross to a four-year contract with the club option for a fifth season. The speedy Ross, who set an NFL combine record by clocking a 4.22 in the 40-yard dash, didn't practice with the team during its first day of minicamp on Friday. He's still recovering from a shoulder injury, but he was able to take part in some walkthroughs.
I learned a lot, and I think that was the biggest thing about, you know, the camp, you know, because I feel that they trust in my ability. So, you know, I think, like I said, the biggest thing for me was just to come in and learn and, you know, get all the mental reps in that I could.
The Bengals have also signed former Auburn linebacker Carl Lawson, their fourth round draft pick. While the Morehead State football team accomplished a lot during its recent spring practices, one thing it didn't do was pick a starting quarterback for next season. Coach Rob Tenure says the battle between junior Jack Sheary, sophomore Lawson Page, and redshirt freshman Ethan Jeffers will continue when preseason camp starts in August.
I think that given the work that they put in and the effort they put in and time they're putting in, they deserve that. But we're pretty happy where we're at. And, you know, I think by practice 7 or 8, we'll know.
The MSU football team needs to replace four-year record-setting quarterback Austin Gayhafer, who graduates this coming Saturday. And finally, for today in sports, some NCAA rules changes regarding practices will have little impact on the Kentucky football team. MSPR's Chuck Meraz reports.
Herald leader UK beat writer Jen Smith notes that the SEC has recommended some adjustments to the way the league's football teams practice, but those changes shouldn't impact Kentucky much. The SEC announced Friday it will adopt the suggestion set forth by the NCAA Sports Science Institute that eliminate preseason two-a-day practices and reduces the amount of live contact work during the regular season. Losing two-a-days is no problem for the Wildcats, who start preseason practices a week earlier than most teams to make up for that change. UK also began limiting live contact work last season. The NCAA believes the changes will protect the health and safety of players. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Meraz.
That's a look at sports. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Murray State for three games this weekend, 5 p.m. on Friday, 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for MSU Public Radio. The NASDAQ Composite and S&P 500 both notched new all-time intraday and closing highs in trading, despite a narrow range of trading today as investors digested Emmanuel Macron's victory over Marine Le Pen in the French presidential election. And the Dow Industrials did eke out a small gain of 5.34 at 21,012.28. The S&P 500, as mentioned, inched up to a new all-time closing high as the S&P 500 was up only about a tenth of a point at 2399.38, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 1.9 at 6102.66, and, of course, a new all-time closing high for the NASDAQ. The broader market not as strong as the major indices, as losers outpaced winners by a 16-13 margin on the big board today. European equities fell broadly in the wake of the victory by Macron, with the pan-European stock 600 index slipping about a quarter of a percent. Most investors had largely factored in a win by Macron in the French election, and so the markets today more or less selling on the news. And the French CAC 40 index itself dropped about 1%. In the oil markets today, oil was up a half a percent, and that cheered investors with WTI finishing at $46.47 a barrel, and energy and consumer discretionary stocks were among the best performers today. In corporate news, Sinclair Broadcast will acquire Tribune Media for $3.9 billion, or $43.50 a share. The announcement sent Tribune stock up more than 6%, and Sinclair's up about 3%. Also, Coach agreed to buy Kate Spade for $2.4 billion, or $18.50 a share, in an effort to resonate more with younger consumers. In the commodities markets today, also gold, which has been dropping lately, finished flat at $1,226.80 an ounce. And among Dow stocks, your best performers were Apple and ExxonMobil, as Apple finished above $150 a share for the first time. Your worst performers among Dow stocks were DuPont and Goldman Sachs. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Newell Brands and CenturyLink, and the worst performers were Tyson Foods and Lyondell Bassell. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 40 cents at 123.05, CSX down 69 cents at 51.81, AEP down 8 cents at 67.74, Marathon Petroleum up 68 cents at 51.34, AK Steel down a penny at 5.82, and Anthem was down 53 cents to finish at 179.77. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Eastern Kentucky CEP. The Carter Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in Grayson will host a job fair on Tuesday, May 16th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Grayson Career Center, 1141A State Highway 7. LPNs, registered nurses, and CNAs are encouraged to bring resumes for interviews. The Carter Nursing and Rehabilitation Center job fair at the Grayson Career Center, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Tuesday, May 16th. More information at 474-2412 or online at ekyjobs.com.
Now taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cloudy skies with periods of light rain, thunder possible with lows around 49 degrees, and that chance of rain is at 60%. Tomorrow, mixed clouds and sun with scattered thunderstorms, highs around 71 degrees, and that chance of rain is at 60%. Tuesday night, thunderstorms likely in the evening, then a chance of scattered thunderstorms later on, lows around 55 degrees, and that chance of rain is at 80%. Wednesday, overcast with a stray shower or thunderstorm possible with highs around 77 degrees. Wednesday night, scattered thunderstorms during the evening becoming more widespread overnight. Lows around 62 degrees and chance of rain is at 90%. And taking a look at the current temperatures around the region, Ashland is sitting at 65 degrees. It's 64 degrees in Flemingsburg, 65 degrees in Inez, 66 degrees in Lexington, 65 in Winchester, and it's currently 65 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Ashley Davidson, Kenzie Thompson, and Victoria Agee. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Dan Translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Courtney Howell and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.